I've been thinking a terrible amount about bullies. You ever been bullied in your life? I had a bully for about 2 years of my life. His name was Colby. I'll refrain from using his last name because his life is actually a tragedy, which we will get to. But I have been bullied many, many a time in my life. And I have to say something, that over the last couple of days, in talking about COVID-19 and in talking about the numbers and in ranting and raving about it, I have witnessed a sincere amount of bullying, meaning people who can't handle it. And so they, you know, they call names and they write mean things and they blow up the text line and they send emails to 973nights. @gmail.com, and they're bullies. Not really so much that they want to have a conversation, but they want to be mean about it. They want to be mean. They want to be, you know, use harsh language, to put it nicely. And I think it would behoove us to actually talk about, you know, we don't need to go into the details about masking and all that other stuff. We've done it for the last couple of days because Inslee came out again and he said, well, I just want to recommend that people wear masks in indoor spaces. But I think that we should talk about this phenomenon that's going on right now that to me looks like bullying. It looks and sounds like bullying. I don't know if you've experienced this, but if you're just like just a little right of center and you have an opinion about COVID that is just like a little bit different than everybody else's, have you been subjected to some severe bullying? People calling you like a denier or an anti-vaxxer or anything like that. People actually like, you know, using ad hominems at you, attacking you for your beliefs. You know, the first time that I interacted with Colby, my bully, he was, he knew me from my sister, and he was a bully to my sister. And then when I got to middle school, this kid was vicious. I mean, he would spit on me, he would shove me, he would get in my face. I don't know what his deal was, but he loved to pick on me. I was kind of a smaller kid. And I remember feeling so powerless in the face of this guy who, when I was in sixth grade, I think he was in eighth grade. And I just remember feeling so, you know, just so powerless against this guy. I would go and I would cry to the counselors about it, and they would pull Colby in and he would get suspended. And then when he would come back, he would just keep doing it. He was relentless. He was just a sociopath. And I remember that it all kind of came to a head because this went on for months and months and months and months. At a certain point in time, we had this school-wide kind of elective. It was a softball elective where, you know, we'd all go down to the field. It's like an extra PE course, right? We would all play softball, and it just so happened that this game, Colby was on one team and I was on the other team, and I was, I think Colby was playing second base or something like that. So I hit a ball and I get to first base, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I could make it to second base if I steal. I bet I could steal the second base. So I started running. Little Jack Stein, I start going for it. I start moving my little legs as fast as they'll carry me, all 80 pounds of me, and I'm running as fast as I can, and the pitcher's not looking, and I'm about to make it to second base, and the team is cheering me on. Mr. Mayhew, with PE teachers, going, go, Jack Stein! Go, we love you, awesome! And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm on the ground. And my face is just throbbing. I'm in ridiculous amounts of pain. You see, Colby, I just almost said his last name. Colby, he hit me right in the face. He just decked me right in the face because he didn't want me to steal second base. And again, he was the second baseman. So he just popped me right in the face. And I remember standing up and I'm just in tears, right? I'm so angry, so mad, because this was my big moment in the sun. And I remember just being so defeated, and the PE teacher runs up and he's like, what's going on here? And it was this whole ordeal, and I just remember being devastated, sitting in the principal's office, and the principal's like, you boys shouldn't be fighting on the softball field is our most sacred of institutions. And make a long story short, Colby got suspended again. I think I got detention for some strange and odd reason. Oh, I know why. I called him a slur that was quite popular back in the early 2000s for gay people. It was a shortcoming of mine. Forgive me. I was 11 years old. But I remember, you know, that feeling of powerlessness and feeling like there just nothing bad would ever happen to this guy. Like, there was no recourse against it. And again, there are parallels now when we look at the people who are basically controlling our lives, right? Or attempting to control our lives further with COVID-19. There was actually a supercut of Fauci the other day. Let me see if I can pull this up. So Fauci, this actually kind of went a little viral. This is a supercut of Fauci, came out, and this is him going through, basically contradicting himself over the last 18 months. It's pretty amazing. Here's just a quick 60 seconds of Fauci contradicting himself over and over and over and over again.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater.
Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Mark, there has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
If, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community,
see,
you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, it's like, as soon as it begins to stack up, right, at a certain point in time, you just get deeply frustrated with it. You almost feel powerless against it because you have people who are making policy about your children, about what's going to happen with your kids back in schools. Chris Rakedahl was on G and Ursula saying, hey, you want schools to stay open in Washington? Guess what? You got to get vaccinated. And they go through all this stuff about how we're going to have pop-up vaccination sites. And even though there's no vaccination requirement at this point, they're saying, hey, listen, this might become a severe issue in the future. And again, I think about these things and I think, there's no recourse for people like me against Fauci or Walensky or any of the health officers that are out there. There's nothing really that I can do about it. I will say this, though. I was reading the other day about someone who had levied death threats against Fauci. And I just thought, man, I hate that we're at this point now where people feel that powerless. You know, that some loser out there, that some psychotic loser out there attempted to find Dr. Fauci and take his life. I think to myself, you know, I wish that there was another way that we could handle this peacefully. In the same way that when I was like 11 years old, I really wished there was some way that I could handle that bully that I had, Colby, some way that I could handle it peacefully. And I actually I remembered today that at a certain point in time, that same softball league, Colby and I were on the bench together this particular time. This is after he decked me right in the face. And Colby and I were sitting on the bench waiting to be picked for a team. And everyone's going down the line and they're picking different people. And I thought, for whatever reason, I thought, you know what, this guy, maybe I could try to make friends with this guy, Colby. Maybe he and I could actually be buddies. So he's wearing a Linkin Park shirt, and I like Linkin Park. So what if I comment on his Linkin Park shirt, and maybe he and I can be buddies about this? Again, this is in my little 11-year-old brain. So I go, I say, hey, Colby, I just want to let you know that I really like Linkin Park too, and I thought that Hybrid Theory was a really great CD. And you know what he did? He slapped me right across the face. He cocked his hand back and he slapped me right across the face, and I fell on the ground and I was crying and I was hysterical. And Mr. Mayhew, our PE teacher, came over. He said, what are you guys doing? And Colby's just laughing and laughing and laughing. The kid was just a sociopath. That time I didn't get in trouble, but Colby did get suspended again. And this kid was really just the devil, man. He was the worst. My therapist thanks him, though. But more importantly, getting back to this whole thing about COVID and the way that people are reacting to this kind of thing, I feel like in many ways, if you're just center right like how I am, you've tried your best to make concessions with all this stuff. You know, maybe you went and you got vaccinated. Maybe you went and you did the whole social distancing thing. And now it feels like that bullying is kind of warming back up again. Do you know what I mean? That kind of like, oh, well, we're just recommending that people, even if you're vaccinated, wear masks again. It feels like it's all kind of just warming back up again. You know, even let me give it another one. There's another clip here from Andrew Cuomo. This clip also went pretty viral the other day. It's Andrew Cuomo, and he's saying, hey, listen, does this like tough guy attitude. This is the other day. Does this tough guy attitude say, hey, listen, here's what we're going to be doing. If you don't want to get the vaccine, we're going to be driving out to where you are. He gets really, really mobster with this. Here's what that sounded like earlier this week.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm.
Bullies, 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 bullies all over the place. And even, you know, for me, when I talk about COVID-19 and when I offer people an alternative perspective on COVID, and we take the CDC data and we go through the CDC data, even there in the text line 98973, I'll see people saying the worst stuff you would possibly want to read about it. You know, I'm going to get people killed. You know, how would you feel if your wife got COVID-19? Spoiler alert, I would feel the same as I do now. Not, that kind of emotional appeal does not work on me. That kind of lowball argument does not work on me, but you should really see it. Just having an opinion that deviates ever so slightly from what other people would prescribe on your life, what do they instantly turn into? The most loathsome, bitter, disgusting people who attack my wife. Can you believe that? Just for having an opinion that's just a little bit different, where I say, hey, you know what? I got the vaccine. Don't want to wear the mask. I think the recommendation is stupid. I think it's stupid. I think it's unscientific. I think that when Rochelle Walensky came out the other day and she said, we're having a breakthrough case rates at 10-20% when it comes to the vaccine. And then you go to the CDC website and it says breakthrough case rate is 0.098%. So she's off by a magnitude of what, 500? I think to myself, yeah, you know, there's something else going on here. There's something weird going on here. But even when you point that out, guess what that makes you? Subject to bullying. Again, I don't know if this has happened to you, just as like a private citizen out there, but for me as a semi-public figure, this level of anger and bitterness and bullying is something that I have not seen on any other topic ever. Never, not once. You know, when I was doing drive-in talk radio, we would have people call in, hot button issues, right? So we talk about things like gay marriage, talk about things like needle exchanges, stuff like that. Even then, I could have the most conservative of Christians call into my show and be very angry at the idea that I was pro-gay marriage. They would be so mad at this idea, right? But even then, there was never any bullying. And that's the thing that I really want to focus on. Why is it that this topic in particular is just rife with bullies all over the place and rife with inconsistencies and rife with this weird kind of the psychosis, if you will. I was watching Cuomo the other night. They had this piece about a mom who was pepper sprayed in an elevator because there was another woman there who said that they were too close. Here's what that sounded like the other day.
The bizarre case inside an elevator at Seattle's Pike Place Market. A woman now under arrest this morning accused of pepper spraying a young child and his mom. Police say she told them she did it because she was concerned about the COVID-19 Delta variant. Investigators say 37-year-old Cesarnia Slape attacked the family, claiming they weren't wearing masks and that she is high risk.
That's madness. That's insane. That is bullying. That this is where it all leads, right? All of this heightened rhetoric. And for all you people out there that say, hey, you know what? Donald Trump is the his rhetoric led to the people storming the Capitol and trying to overtake our democracy. It was Donald Trump's language. Well, who do we say whose rhetoric led to that woman pepper spraying that mom and that kid? Whose rhetoric led to that woman being so psychotic that she decided to assault other people? You know, wrap up my story about Colby. He actually dropped out of high school. So he was gone by the time that I got to high school because he was two grades ahead of me. So he dropped out and he kind of fell off my radar for many, many, many years. And then I must have been in my early 20s and I'm living the pseudo rock star lifestyle. I had a mildly successful band, a burgeoning drug addiction. And I remember going back to my hometown with my beautiful model girlfriend at the time. Now, I don't say that lightly. She was one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen in my life. She was Swiss, green eyes, blonde hair, just gorgeous. She looked like a ballerina, 10 out of 10. And we go to this restaurant. She says, do you want to go to this old place we used to go to? I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. We walk in, and I see this guy wearing a huge surgical mask, not a normal one, but a huge, huge surgical mask. And something about him looks really, really, really familiar. And I sit down at the table, and I'm looking at this guy over at the bar, and he's drinking through a tube that's going into this huge surgical mask. I recognize that guy. Who is that guy? And my girlfriend at the time, she goes, oh, that's Colby. I said, that's what happened to him? She said, oh, well, you know, he dropped out of high school and then he started selling drugs. And, you know, then he got into like a bad crowd and he kind of, you know, lost his mind on drugs. And then he tried to take his own life. I said, what? She said, yeah, he tried to take his own life. He put a gun underneath his chin and he tried to shoot himself in the head, but he ended up just blowing off the front of his face. And yeah, this is what he does now. He drinks, still a drug addict, still an alcoholic, and he comes here and he drinks. I said, what? I said, there's no way. And I looked back at him and we made eye contact. I went, oh, that is him. That's the guy. That's the guy who made my life a living hell. But I couldn't find any satisfaction in it. I didn't find any retribution in it. I didn't think of this as some kind of big karmic thing out there where this guy finally got what he deserved. I just felt bad for the guy. And that's the way that I feel now with all these kind of COVID bullies, all these people out there with their hysterics and their, you know, mean tweets and their mean emails and their mean text messages. And this woman who tries to pepper spray this other woman because she's too close. And that's the way I think about it. I just feel bad for these people. I feel bad for them. And that's the real shame of it. But I also think that maybe that's what we should be doing. You know, if you're like me and you think like me about COVID and all these mask recommendations coming back up again and the insanity around it, I think that compassion and empathy for these people is much more useful than trying to bully them back or finding some kind of satisfaction. And, you know, I think that actually trying to say, oh, these people have been bullied themselves. They've been bullied themselves into thinking that they need to live this way. Again, whether it's you're some insane woman pepper spraying somebody else or you're some person who's wearing double masks still, even though you've been vaccinated. Finding compassion for those people, I think, is the best way forward for us. And not dipping into that anger and that resentment of these people, but trying to find a way to navigate forward in lieu of all of this bullying. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Tariq Ansari will be on the line. Our local Zoomer will be giving us a Zoomer update on whatever he's doing in San Diego, California. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is our local Zoomer correspondent, Tariq Ansari. Tariq is joining us via telephone this evening. Tariq, your generation, is this odd for you to be speaking on the telephone to another human being instead of texting?
I mean, I'm telling you, when I got to the dialing telephone, I had to roll the thing a couple times on the number. I had no idea what was going on. I was confused. But then, luckily, I called my good friend, that's right, Betty White, who has a lot of knowledge with this, and she got me in touch with a phone operator, and 37 hours later, I'm on the phone with you, Jack.
Yeah, perfect. Sorry for the delay on that, buddy. I mean, I this is just the way that it works. You get put on hold instead of texting. See, this is what we had to do back in the 90s, my dude. We had to actually call people, and get this, if someone did not have a voicemail, if they didn't have something to leave a message, you know what you had to do? You had to call them back later. You had to call them back. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How did people live through that? Well, I mean, first of all, how did they live through the stupid fashion? But second of all, how did they live through all of that? I mean, I'm telling you. Oh, gosh, the pain. And plus, you didn't have Genesis in the 90s, which that is just pain. Just pain. how to do it. But yeah, if you're ready, I have a story for you here. A Zoomers, boy, we really connect with this. Ubers and Lyfts, something we take a lot, because especially in big cities like San Diego and Seattle, San Francisco, you don't see a lot of people with cars, you know, mostly because it's expensive and extremely annoying to drive on the streets. But a lot of people take Ubers. And there's a study, it was by this one writer actually out in San Francisco, who examined where people sit in Ubers. Like when you get into an Uber, there isn't like a set place for you to sit. Do you sit in the front seat? Do you sit behind the driver? Do you sit behind, like in the back passenger seat, like I do? I mean, and it also goes into, maybe this says something about your own human nature, about who you are as a person, depending on where you sit. Because, well, get this. No, this is a good point. Because I sit behind the passenger side, like the back seat, because that's the most like a taxi. You know, when you watch the TV shows and they get a taxi, that's where everyone sits. And I, you know, I'm a big media fan, so that's where I'm going to sit. Now, some people who sit behind the driver and they're by themselves, the drivers have come out and said, that freaks me out. Like, that might be kind of weird. Like, I can't see where my driver is. I got to adjust my rearview mirror to make sure that he's not, you know, like flip me off 24/7 or something like that. And some people take the front seat and they just are like, you know, they want to be close to the driver, or they want a better view of the road. It's kind of strange. I kind of want to hear, Jack, like as a non-Zoomer and almost Zoomer like yourself.
Yeah.
Like where you sit when you take Ubers and Lyfts.
Okay. So sitting behind the driver, super cringe. You never, ever, ever sit behind the driver. Ever, never, not once. If I'm getting into an Uber, I want it to be like driving Miss Daisy. I'm going to get in the back seat, passenger side. I am paying for that person's time. They are my slave for that 20 minutes or that 15 minutes. They do what I say. And right now, King Jack, Uncle Jay, demands that they drive me from location A to location B. And they, I want to be able for them to turn and look at me if they want to. I want it to be a nice, comfortable experience, because here's the thing about Uber that I think that most people miss. All jokes aside, the Uber driver can be your buddy. You guys can be chummy together. I love talking to Uber drivers. They're some of the most interesting people you'd ever want to meet. I've learned everything you'd ever want to know about QAnon and lizard people and flat earth. Everything you'd ever want to know. But the problem is that people do with Uber drivers, I think by and large, is they treat them like they're a massive inconvenience. Do you know what I mean? They treat them like, oh, they were late by this amount of time, or they didn't take the right route, or whatever it is. In my mind, this is a miracle of capitalism, where a human being with a private car comes and picks you up through a magical application on my God phone. They pick me up. They take me to my location, and I give them basically nothing to do it. I give them basically nothing. I pay like $10 for an Uber. I think that people need to recognize that the nicer that you are to your Uber driver, the better your life will be. And part of that is sitting passenger side, back seat, every time.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think you absolutely should show respect to your Uber driver. The one thing I have with Ubers, I actually have a couple issues with Ubers. The big thing with cost, that's not the driver's problem. So when people are like treating, they're like, why are you charging so much? He's not Mr. Uber. This is not Johnny Uber. This is some dude driving a Camry, trying to make it and like, you know, make some cash, make some dough. I will say though, on the topic of conversation, I have had, and listen, you know me, I'm someone who talks a lot. I mean, I work at a radio station.
What?
But like, you know, it's crazy. Breaking news, AP reports. But like, it's crazy when I see like, you get the both ends of the spectrum with Uber drivers. And I feel like the Uber drivers that talk a lot, I mean, as cool as they can be, they're like, I had to take an Uber yesterday morning at 3 a.m. to get to the airport by 5 from Seattle. And I'm not exactly in a cheery mood to talk. But the Uber driver was, you know, well, it's a nice night out here. Look at the weather. It's a crazy. Oh, my God. Did you see the Mariners last night? Kendall Gray. Oh, my God. By the way, are you Lebanese? Oh, I have this one friend from Lebanon. Like, every time I had a chance to talk, she was like, oh, wait. And then also this, it was sometimes it's not the best time to have social conversations. So I kind of get the some people that don't talk in Ubers.
That's a mistake.
I get that.
That's a mistake, buddy. That's really cringe. That's really cringe. Every time you get into an Uber, if the Uber driver is chummy with you, you be chummy back to the Uber driver. That's how you get blessed. A friendly, positive disposition, Tark. See, this is what Zoomers don't understand, that millennials get 100%.
Boomers
understand this as well, is that the nicer you are to waiters, waitresses, intake staff, hospital staff, hotel staff, whatever it is, the nicer you are to those people, the better treatment you get.
Yeah.
I get the best treatment wherever I go, and you as a Zoomer, buddy, you guys have to understand that politeness and being friendly and chummy is the way to live.
Yeah, true. But I'm not denying that. I'm still like at 3 a.m. going like, yeah. And I'm still like keeping on the happy face, being like, oh, okay, that's cool. Because I'm never going to be disrespectful. What I'm trying to say is like, you know, as an Uber driver, which I very much respect what they do, but like it's 3 a.m., I got 2 hours of sleep. I mean, I'm willing to be like, oh, you know, being chummy and everything. I'm just saying, you know, there's a time and there's a place. There's an opposite spectrum of that. And I know there's plenty, by the way, on a flip side saying this is what the Zoomers don't understand. This is where I call bull, because I think Zoomers get a bad rap for being antisocial people.
You
who
are.
Work their phones.
You are antisocial.
That is such a broad. It's like, listen, there are so many Zoomers that get no recognition on all these, on Twitter, because all Twitter is, on Facebook is, well, these kids these days, they don't really get it at all. You know, we're all out here, like, trying to make a living being social. It's just the way we show our socialness is not seen as much as boomers or as much as millennials. However, on the topic that we started at the beginning of, should we sit behind the driver? I think people who sit right behind the driver, as I mentioned, just that's weird. That's just strange.
It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. It's like playing Hall & Oates. It's like requesting Hall & Oates on an Uber. It's obviously the Police. You play the Police, you play Genesis, you play Pink Floyd, and you play Stevie Wonder. Those are your go-to four, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to play music in an Uber, there you go.
Tariq Ansari is our local Zoomer correspondent, calling to front. Where are you calling from? You're coming to us remotely from San Diego, California. We'll see you when you get back next week, buddy. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with some Shane Peterson and a little bit of good news. Shane, you know, one of my favorite things to do or say to the missus when I eat a lot of food is I say, like, my diabetes, and she laughs and she laughs and she laughs, right? Because the diabetes meme has been around forever, correct?
Yeah, it's one of the most iconic commercials with the overweight older gentleman.
It's Wilford Brimley. Wilford Brimley, thank you very much, Shane Peterson.
I didn't know he had a special name.
American hero. He was on Walker, Texas Ranger. Wilford Brimley, world-class actor. He was in The Firm. He's an amazing actor. How dare you, Shane?
I had no idea he was an actor. I thought that he was a guy that they found at a call-in, and they're like, hey, you look like a guy that has diabetes. How about you come on and do this? I had no idea. Really?
This is Wilford Brimley, okay? This is the definition of an American actor. This is a man who died last year. This is a man who is an American hero, Shane. And you're coming to me with this. Not hold on, Shane. You're coming to me with this nonsense. And you're telling me that after serving in the Marine Corps, taking on a variety of odd jobs, he became an extra in Western films. In a little more than a decade, he had established himself as a character actor in films such as... I'm getting a little choked up here, Shane. The China Syndrome, which you know. The Thing. Tender Mercies. The Natural. Cocoon. How dare you, Shane Peterson? He has been the long-term face of the American television advertisements of the Quaker Oats Company, and he promoted diabetes education and awareness. How dare you, Shane Peterson? You bring that into my radio show, not knowing who Wilford Brimley is. You salute this man. You salute this American hero, Shane Peterson.
He's the guy in the Quaker Oats box too?
Yeah, no, he talks about it because he has that voice.
Oh my gosh, really? I had no idea. I thought that he straight up was a guy that they're like, this guy looks like he has diabetes. And they're like, hey, say diabetes for us. And he's all, diabetes. And they're diabetes. All, got us. You got the job.
Yeah. I mean, he was in The Natural, man. The Natural. This right here, Wilford Brimley looking out from the dugout as Robert Redford hits the ball really far, Shane. This is, Shane, you're just, this is like, you know what? I'm going to have to talk to somebody about this, Shane. We're going to have to, hold on, Shane, turn off all the microphones. Turn them all off.
Okay, they're off.
Okay, Shane, listen, this is, Cairo Nights is like a really important show, okay? And when you do this thing where you come on and you pretend like you don't know who, I'm like, I know that you know who Wilford Brimley is, okay?
I don't, though. I really didn't.
See, okay, but that's okay. I need you in the future, now that it's just you and I, to not, you know, just play along. And you go, oh, yeah, Wilford Brimley, you mean, you know, born September 27th, 1934. He was a bodyguard for Howard Hughes for like 3 years in the Aleutian Islands.
How do you know so much about this guy?
Because he's an American hero, Shane. And so, you know, sure, we're talking about how the FDA has approved an automatic generic swap brand name insulin, potentially giving insulin to hundreds of thousands of people who otherwise couldn't afford it, and an amazing move. And this is the good news of the day. But the good news should be Wilford Brimley and Wilford Brimley's career. And moreover, Shane, we should all be very mad at the FDA for being basically a useless organization that prevents hardworking people with diabetes from getting the medication that they need, so much so that they delayed this for 2 years. Two whole years, Shane. So anyway, turn the mics back on and we'll talk about this story.
Okay, they're back on.
All right, so Shane, in good news, it looks like that doctors can now prescribe what is called a biosimilar, or it's a substitute, basically, for more expensive brand name insulins. It was approved yesterday by the FDA. And why this is a big deal is because now, because it's, you know, it's similar enough to insulin, it's cheaper, right? And it's interchangeable. And I find that to be really, really interesting. And the fact that, you know, insulin, how many Americans are on insulin at this point in time, you think, Shane?
Oh, God, I would say, so how many people do we have? I would say somewhere probably like 30 million.
Wow, Shane, whoa. 2 points for Shane Peterson, right on the number. There's about 30 million Americans take insulin
really?
On a regular basis. Yeah.
Check me out.
So, you know, some of these injector pens can cost a lot of money. We're talking like upwards of like, you know, $520. With this new kind of name brand stuff, you can get them for as low as like $150, $120. And that's huge for so many people. So that's the good news for today, Shane.
Hey, that is great news. We got to just wheel and deal all the insulin out to everybody that needs it, because I mean, having diabetes, I have family members and certain friends and people who I've grown up with that have had diabetes, and it's just like, I would not wish that on anybody, you know? So we need to figure out a way that we can just have more people live a pretty regular life. And, you know, most people with diabetes, you know, they're probably listening and they're probably like, Shane, it's not that big of a deal. Or they think it's actually kind of something that kind of cripples them in a way. But the thing is, this is great news for them. So, I mean, I'm all about this. It's all great news all around.
This is why we got to do stuff like this, Shane. You know, not to embarrass you, not to humiliate you in front of, you know, dozens of people who listen to the show on a nightly basis, but so that you know and the people know that there's always a little bit of good news out there. We'll take a really quick break, by the way. When we get back, Dr. Z is going to be coming in, and I'm going to ask Dr. Z about ordering illegal testosterone over the internet and how he feels about that. And we're also going to be getting into spike proteins, because Dr. Z called me this morning and he was really upset about people talking about spike proteins. So we'll take a really quick break, get some new information on COVID-19 and illegal testosterone right after this.